shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Alleluia.
The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the second chapter.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Now when the wise men had departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream and said, "Rise, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt, and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is about to search for the child to destroy him." And he rose and took the child and his mother by night and departed to Egypt and remained there until the death of Herod. This was to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet, "Out of Egypt I called my son." Then Herod, when he saw that he had been tricked by the wise men, became furious. And he sent and killed all the male children in Bethlehem and in all that region who were 2 years old or young or under, according to the time that he had ascertained from the wise men. Then was fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Jeremiah. A voice was heard in Ramah, weeping and loud lamentation, Rachel weeping for her children. She refused to be comforted because they are no more. But when Herod died, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, "Rise, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead." And he rose and took the child and his mother, and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned in a dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a city called Nazareth, that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled. He shall be called a Nazarene. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
You may be seated. Hopefully you received an outline. If not, if you could share the outline, since I guess I made too few copies. Apparently. When I first read these verses, I wasn't quite sure what to make of them. Like how, because typically our lessons fit together. Not always, but typically they do. And when I first read through these, I kind of had a hard time figuring out what the, you know, the connecting tissue was. But I guess it's right in front of you, but what is the connecting tissue here, do you think? You can look at your notes.
Remembering the works of God.
Right, remembering the works of God, and specifically the work of God that is talked about in all, pretty much all the lessons today is what? Out of Egypt, which is, we call that the Exodus. So the Exodus is the connecting tissue here this morning. And what's interesting about this is that the Exodus is obviously in the Old Testament, and we'll talk about that a little bit more, but also Jesus has his own Exodus as well, as he embodies Israel. He becomes Israel for the world. And so I just thought that was once I caught that with the help of lots of other people, not me. Once I caught that, it just kind of sent me to the races, and I did a really good job editing, I think, because we could be here for a good couple hours had I not. So I did a little editing, and we will not be here for a couple of hours. Please pray with me. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our God and our rock and our Redeemer. And everyone said, Amen. So, we remember the works of God. As the Lord redeemed Israel out of Egypt, so Jesus comes out of Egypt to be the true Israel to save the whole world. Our first lesson begins in Isaiah. And Isaiah recounts what the Lord did for the Hebrew people, bringing them out of Egypt. He says in verse 7, "I will recount the steadfast love of the Lord, the praises of the Lord, according to all that the Lord has granted us, and that and the great goodness to the house of Israel, that he has granted them according to his compassion, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. And then in verse 9 it says, in all their affliction he was afflicted, and the angel of his presence saved them. In his love and in his pity he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. Now remember that, all the days of old. The Hebrew people, of course, descendants of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, were slaves in Egypt. After having fled there to avoid famine about 400 years earlier, the Egyptians used them to build their great buildings and eventually imposed impossible requirements on them. I'm sure most of us know the story. Most of us remember Charlton Heston, of course, you know. Let my people, you know that? I won't do that. But the Egyptians were in slavery in Egypt. He saved them from slavery and promised to give them a land in order to be his free people. And that's kind of sandwiched in there. I have verse 7 and 9 before, but verse 8 says, for he said, surely they are my people, children who will not deal falsely, and he became their savior. Saved from what? Egypt and slavery. It says later on in Isaiah, in the passage that we read, in verse 11, then he remembered the days of old of Moses and his people. Where is he who brought them up out of the sea with the shepherds of his flock? Where is he who put in the midst of them his Holy Spirit, who caused his glorious arm to go at the right hand of Moses, who divided the waters before them to make for himself an everlasting name, who led them through the depths. Like a horse in the desert, they did not stumble. Like livestock that go down to the valley, the spring of the Lord gave them rest. So you led your people to make for yourself a glorious name. So this is speaking of the Exodus, of the works of old that are talked about earlier, all the days of old. Isaiah comes back to them and says, these are the works of old that I am talking about. This is the great salvation that you were given. You were taken out of slavery in Egypt and brought into a land flowing with milk and honey. These are the works of the Lord that Isaiah is reminding, or that Isaiah is reminding the people of Israel. God sent Moses, the Hebrew adopted son of Pharaoh, to free God's people. And through Moses, God led them through the wilderness. He delivered the plagues to the Egyptians. He brought them through the Red Sea, all by the power of God working through Moses. He brought his people out of slavery. In Psalm 111:9, we chanted today, he sent redemption to his people. He has commanded his covenant forever. Holy and awesome is his name. He sent redemption to his people. That's exactly what happened in the Exodus. They were redeemed. Redemption, loosely, means being bought back from something. Typically what we would say in the New Testament is, or in the Scriptures, is that when something is redeemed, it's bought back from slavery. Okay, being redeemed is being brought back or bought back from something. And so God sends his redemption to his people. But what happens in the desert? They rebel. They've been bad. Exactly. They rebel big time. They rebel. Exactly. They fashion the idol to worship, the calf. They forgot what had happened just before then. They forgot the plagues, the Red Sea, the manna that was given to them every day for food. God provided everything that they needed. And as Isaiah said, like a horse walking through the desert, they do not stumble. That's what the Lord provided for them. But they forgot. They even thought back to when they had food in Egypt. And they wanted to go back, some of them, because they were out in the desert. Israel eventually does get to the promised land, of course. And they continued, though, this cycle of rebellion over the course of the years. Now, Isaiah is pointing this out, and we need to bring that into our lives as well. We too are rebels. I think often we think of Israel and we think, boy, those guys, what were they thinking? I mean, they had all that stuff, manna from heaven. They had the Red Sea parted in front of them, and they forgot it all, and they wanted to turn back to other gods, and they wanted to go back to Egypt, and what was wrong with them? And we have to remember that we do the exact same thing. We too are rebels. Our tendencies are to curve inward on ourselves. Our tendency is to look out for our own needs and our own wants and desires. Our tendency is towards sin, just as it was for the nation of Israel. It's the same with us. We forget all that the Lord has done for us. We forget the provisions that He has given us in this life. We despise His commands and promises. Despise doesn't necessarily mean to really hate. Despise just means to disregard. You just despise something, you just disregard it. It's not important. And we do that with His commands and promises. And it's when we forget that sin enters in. It's sort of like oil and water. When the water recedes, the oil, or when the oil comes in, it pushes the water out. When we forget, sin comes in. It enters in just as it did for Israel. We rebel against God in our forgetting, and we perish in our unbelief. Israel failed at being what God called it to be. We fail at being what God calls us to be. But there's a big but here. Love big buts. I had a pastor once, he used to say it's the love, the big buts in the Bible. Because when you hit a but, then obviously something is happening. Something is changing. And that's exactly what happens. We have a Savior who came out of Egypt as well. We have the one who, when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. We have this one who has come to us out of Egypt to save us from our sin. Something far greater and worse than slavery in Egypt. Sin, death, and the power of the evil one. He comes to save us from these things, these greater things than even the power of Egypt. And He came at just the right time. Earlier on in Galatians, it says that before faith came, we were held captive under the law, imprisoned until the coming faith would be revealed. He came at the right time and entered into our prison to free us. He was born of a woman born under the law. Born under this, what we would see as a prison, and what He was free from. He was free to do the whole law. He fulfilled everything that Israel was supposed to fulfill. He became Israel for us and suffered and died for us because He was a human being. Born under the law, but was without sin. He was the unblemished lamb, the unblemished sacrifice in our place. And it's not only freedom that He gives us, but He gives us adoption as sons. Sons, now it's interesting here. Sometimes you'll see in scriptures we'll translate things to say, like men and women or We'll kind of break out brothers to mean men and women, because sometimes it means everybody, right? Sons here is a little different. There's a reason that it doesn't ever get translated, well, it shouldn't ever get translated as sons and daughters. Because at this time, a son was the only one who could inherit things. A daughter couldn't inherit anything. And so it's really important that it says that we are all of us, male and female, are adopted as sons. Because we can inherit that which the Son gives to us, the Son of God. We can inherit it. All of us, male and female, all of us who are in Christ, get His benefits by faith. And that adoption is given to us by faith. In our baptism, we get that. In fact, Paul had just talked about that. And I have the footnote, I think, at the bottom there of Galatians 3:27. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ. You have been given that gift. I have been given that gift. We are in Him, and He is in us, which guarantees that inheritance. The Son of God has given us sonship to God as well. And so we can inherit the gifts that God is giving to us. But we need to remember that. Pastor Tim often talks about walking wet. What does he mean by that? We're recording this too, so everybody will get bonus points if they can say what that. He talks about walking wet. Walking in your baptism each day. Walking in repentance, because we know that we rebel and we sin, and so we repent. And walking in the newness of life and the promises that He's given to us through the day. That's really important for us. The church's job is to preach the gospel so that the unbeliever hears and has faith. The church's job also in proclaiming the gospel is so that we who are in Christ hear and remember what He has done for us. We hear, and in hearing, we have faith, because faith comes from hearing and hearing the word of God. I had to get that in there. PT told me I had to get that verse in there. I'm contractually obligated to put that in there. But we hear and we have faith, and in faith we remember what the Lord has done for us. That's what this is all about. Sometimes, you know, maybe we come in here and we just go through the motions. But this, what we're doing here is remembering. We're hearing the word of the Lord. He is giving us faith, and we are remembering what He has done for us. All of it. Everything in here. The vestments, the altar, the candles. Everything in here is to help us to remember the cross. It's to help us to remember what He has done for us. And that's why Pastor Tim is on us to learn the catechism as well, to understand what it's teaching from Scripture. It is teaching us the Scriptures, and by hearing the Scriptures, we have faith, and in faith, we remember the promises of God. So it's really important for us to understand and read Scriptures and to know what God has done. Psalm 111:4 as well, I just wanted to bring this out because I thought this was fascinating, which we chanted today, which we read today. It says, "He has caused His wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful." Luther suggested that this verse should be tied with Holy Communion. He said, quote, "This should be painted with golden letters around a portrait of the Lord's Supper." Let me read it again. "He has caused His wondrous works to be remembered. The Lord is gracious and merciful." In receiving the supper, we remember Christ's sacrifice, and we receive His sacrifice for us. So we, too, have been brought out of Egypt by a great Savior into a life of freedom. And let us never forget that. Let us continue to remember. And may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. And everyone said, Amen. Hymn 40. Please rise as you're able.
Child is this who